5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Howdy, Croc Nation. Dr. Tommy and Ellie here with you with another Amazing Croc podcast. Amazing because of me? No, amazing because of you. With me, as always, my host, the guy who rides in my saddle seat, in my motorcycle, the king of swing, Angel Santana. Have faith, let it begin. Angel, thanks for coming on board with another Croc podcast.
I'm excited. I'm so excited. I just talked over you. And ringing the bell on the tricycle. I got to ring the bell.
You can do it, and we can have all those little puffy things and all of the different accoutrements for our bike. What do they call those motorcycles with the sidecar? You're my sidekick in the sidecar.
I'll be in the sidecar, man. Let's go.
Let's go. And I think of you with the, you know, with the helmet and the goggles and the whole thing.
Yes, I love it. Let's do it.
My Woodstock to my Snoopy. There you go. Angel, I have a really cool, quick, cute, inspiring podcast tonight. It's entitled The Breakfast Club. Now, everyone who listens to this podcast knows the story of how this all started, you know, the whole Croc organization, how we met Beth and Mary. We even had Beth's husband, Al, on, I think, one of our first, if not the first podcast, talking about the observation of the power of survivors, the power that survivor thrivers have and how they share it. And we met Beth and Mary 25 years ago, because this is the 25th anniversary, and how they inspired me to start a survivorship organization to help bring survivors together in order to bottle that energy and to get them in a room together where they could share things that couldn't be shared between people who don't have cancer and people that are survivors. And then after that, you know, I spent a lifetime, over 35 years, just being in the company of cancer survivor thrivers and just being inspired by them and just how courageous they are and how wonderful they are. And then I thought to myself, well, this is all well and good. I got my once in a lifetime, you know, lightning doesn't strike twice kind of experience with Beth and Mary, who became lifelong friends after they met in the waiting room. And then all of a sudden, maybe starting about 3 or 4 months ago, I go into work very early and I would just pop my head in to get my cup of coffee or just kind of whatever, straighten things out. And I would pass through the waiting room and I would start to see three people who would come into the waiting room about 6 o'clock in the morning. Their treatments were, I guess, 6:30 and 6:45. And again, you couldn't make this up. They started to talk, they started to share, they started to bond, and they became friends. And I called them, the three of them, the Breakfast Club. So we're going to call them Dev, Deb, and Juan, not their real names, but of course, with respect. And it was just such a wonderful, you know, what would you say? I was privileged, Angel, to kind of watch this happen. It just kind of happened in front of me. I started to notice that they would, you know, when I first saw them, one person would sit on one end of the room, the other person on another end of the room. And then I started noticing that they would, sit very close to each other. And then from there, I noticed that they would start having conversations. And then I would start, you know, kind of, what would you say, Angel, like puppeteering them? You know, I would sit out there with them. I would kind of, yeah, exactly. I would start, you know, participating in the conversation, do my little routine, a couple of jokes here, a couple of jokes there. Then they started sort of feeling a little more comfortable and they started getting closer and closer and closer. And, you know, at the end, it was really cute because they sort of finished the same day. They really didn't, but we orchestrated it such that they would finish on the same day and they would be able to ring the bell together. So it was just such a wonderful, wonderful experience that I wanted to share it with the Croc Nation and be able to use it perhaps as a learning experience, and we could talk about it. There were two papers that inspired, besides the Breakfast Club, right? Deb and Juan inspiring me to do this podcast. I also read two papers that I felt were really, really pertinent to the subject. One of them was sort of on my side of the fence, looking at the waiting room as an opportunity for survivor thrivers to be together and to join together and to do something that couldn't be derived from either the doctors, the nurses, or even their own family members. And this Bonding Through Cancer Treatments was the name of the blog. And it was from Roswell Park up in Buffalo. And the physician and his PA, Dr. Anurup Singh and Kelsey Smith were basically the version of me up in Buffalo that this article was written about. And we'll talk a little bit more about them and talk a little bit more about their experience. And then, of course, I always try to keep, everything that we present here very balanced, look at the other side of the coin. And I found a paper called Waiting in the Waiting Room. The main author was Chiara Catania, and it was published in the Journal of Cancer Education. And it was not such a positive article about the waiting room experience. So I wanted to kind of, mix and match and kind of share my position, go over Dr. Singh's and Kelsey's observations and go through the opposing counterpoint and then kind of bring it and put it all together. Your thoughts so far, Angel?
It's funny because how we have come full circle just on this episode, and just to reiterate, you brought up the waiting room. And if you go back, obviously, like you said, the first episode in the waiting room, please do so, because I think this would be a great way to, if you're coming in, actually, even though we're in our fourth season, you're able to come in and say, okay, you know what, let me go back to number one and then check out today's episode. So if you're watching it right now or listening to us, stop, go to the waiting room and then come back. We're available on every platform. Definitely want to check out the Croc podcast there.
Yeah. And then again, to preface before we really get deep into the subject, it was so special for me to be able to not just witness and capture this lightning in the bottle once in my career, but be able to do it twice is just, I can't even explain it. There are no words to explain how privileged I was to see that. And we have to remember, on this podcast, as you mentioned, this was, the sentinel event, that observation in the waiting room followed by the lunch that inspired me to start the whole organization. So it is a very special subject to me. So we're going to talk a little bit about the waiting room and the power of survivorship. So what makes a waiting room have the potential of being so powerful and to be a place that might be life-changing? Number one is that patients that meet in a waiting room, for the most part, at least in my experience and Dr. Singh's experience, I would venture to say, is that most of the people in the waiting room are actively being treated. Now, I do see follow-ups and consults and all that kind of thing, but generally, it's the people that are actively undergoing treatment, and it's still early in the game, right? They've only just been diagnosed. They're still in shock. They haven't yet built their survivorship base with other survivors yet. So they're still kind of deer in the headlights, if you don't mind using that expression. And then as far as the other thing, there's the common bonds of our survivor thrivers. There's that fear of the future, but there's also the fear of the now because it's so new, and it's the fear of the unknown as far as what's, when you're about to, go into surgery, you're wondering, man, what is this going to be? What are they going to do to me? What am I going to feel when I wake up? Well, and not having any idea. And this is exactly what our waiting room patients are thinking. And to be having other people thinking the same thoughts, again, has the potential of bringing them together. The other thing that they share is in isolation. And again, Angel and I never want to disrespect family members going through their loved ones having cancer, because I always said you guys are survivors too, and you guys deserve all the respect and love, and attention that our survivors get. But truthfully, you know, the thrivers have always told me through my whole career that, you know, I love my family, but they just don't get it. They just don't understand. They'll never be able to understand. Nor would Angel and I be able to understand until it's our turn to sit in that chair, right? So there is that special isolation that really makes them ripe to want to create these relationships with other survivors. There's also the toxicity that they share, because when you're undergoing, you know, your active treatments, especially we'll talk about Dr. Singh's three patients, they were undergoing head and neck cancer treatments, whereas Beth and Mary were undergoing cancer treatments for their breast cancer. It's a whole different universe. It's like the difference between, you know, Earth and Venus, right? Couldn't be two completely different places. With talk about toxicity. So these three men, you know, they were dealing with all of the special circumstances of head and neck radiation, like dryness and, you know, loss of taste and thick secretions and gagging and losing weight and being in pain and not being able to swallow and getting dehydrated and blah, 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 blah. You know, these guys were suffering and they found each other, you know, in this waiting room in Buffalo. So those are the power, that's where the power is derived from. So the question, you know, that pops into my mind, which I hope is popping into everyone else's mind, is why doesn't this process happen more often? What is this process that happens that bonds our survivor thrivers? So number one, I believe relationships always develop in a waiting room. Now, they develop to varying degrees. So it all starts with a friendly nod, right? The recognition of a person that you've seen more than once, you know, in the waiting room. And then, you know, after another couple of days or whatever, the ice is broken somehow, whether they're getting up to get their water at the same time or going to the restroom or going to the front desk for a question or whatever. It starts and it sort of flares a superficial conversation. And then the superficial conversation will then lead into a deeper conversation. And then you integrate the support system. So all of these people that are meeting, usually they're with someone, with a partner, a child, a parent, a friend, a neighbor, whatever, a driver. And then that person or persons then get integrated into this interaction. And then lastly, there's the development of these friendships. Now, these friendships might only be temporary. They may last only, you know, to the end of treatment, and then they may never see each other again. But in the rare instances, they create these lifelong bonds, which Mary and Beth had. And I believe that our three patients that recently the Breakfast Club will have, and which I believe Dr. Singh and Kelsey's three patients, I believe, will have as well. The other thing that's an ingredient, like if you were to try to grow a plant or a vegetable or a flower, you need a lot of ingredients to make that happen. You have to nourish. You have to get the seed. You have to plant it at the right time. You have to have the right soil. You have to have sunlight. You have to have water. You have to have nutrients, and you have to have just the perfect milieu. In the survivor thriver world, in the waiting room, in the development of these relationships, you have to have the support of that actual cancer center. So I can tell, because Dr. Singh is in charge of radiation oncology. He's the director. Just from reading this short blog, he's the perfect person where this type of interaction can happen, because he is, you know, really, he sets the tone. It's his culture. It's his department. He's the one who really makes it happen. You know, if he was a detached, you know, completely, you know, clinical person who really didn't have any interest in the humanistic side of medicine, which many of our colleagues are, and I'm not putting them down for that, because they might be great at what they do. But you have to be like a Dr. Singh in order to support, you know, this culture, in order to, you know, I guess in embed that culture of patient centricity. And I'm really grateful for him for that process over in Roswell. So the other thing I wanted to talk about, and again, to give equal time to the other opinions, there were different differences in my observations than from Dr. Singh's three patients. Number one, all three survivors were men in his instance. In my case, even though Beth and Mary were two women, and that was very similar, and they both had the same cancer diagnosis, all three of these guys had the same cancer diagnosis. But in my instance with R3, the Breakfast Club, they really didn't have, you know, a lot of similarities except the locations of where their tumors were. And all three had tumors in the pelvis. So there was a commonality there, but not to the degree that Dr. Singh's three head and neck patients. Again, we talked about head and neck patients being special. You know, these guys were going through super toxic therapy. So there was a bit of a difference from my experience, my two experiences, than to that experience. So I didn't want to bring that up. I also wanted to look at the different point of view from the second paper, the one from Catania et al, looking at highlighting a different view of the waiting room. And I would go so far as saying they created a very negative view of the waiting room. Now, before I get into their points, I just want to state that I don't know how things are in Roswell Park, and I'm sure they're very similar to my thought process, but I want to get people in and out of there as quickly as possible. Not because I'm like a restaurant that wants to just get people out so another person would come in and make money. It's completely not that. It's just that people don't want to wait, right? So people have lives. They don't feel good. They want to get out there and they have things to do. So most of our patients, it's an outpatient center for the most part, might even be working. So they might come in before they go to work or come in after they go to work. So we don't really have a wait time in our clinic. We really get people in and we get people out. And I assume that's the same as in Roswell. But to be fair to Catania et al, waiting time can cause discomfort. I agree with them. And it could also reduce mood. I mean, if you're there waiting 3 hours, no matter if you're there with your best friend or you're creating these great relationships, nobody wants to wait 3 hours to see a doctor or get their treatment. Some interesting statistics from that paper. There were 355 respondents to the questionnaire, 35% of which didn't want to share with others. So they wanted to come in and just kind of put their head down and do their own thing. And I've never seen that experience. I've never seen any survivor thriver not, you know, accept graciously the invitation to participate in a conversation with another survivor thriver that was in need or had questions. So I never have seen that. 25% of the respondents suffered major emotional impact. And I guess I could understand this because you have to see, and even I would think Dr. Singh's three patients, you know, when you start head and neck radiation, you look one way. I have a guy right now going through treatments and he came in, he looked like Paul Bunyan, you know, and now he doesn't look like Paul Bunyan anymore. So I guess when you're seeing this big, strong tree of a man, and then all of a sudden over the, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 weeks, seeing them, you know, start to really, you know, lose that bulk and that muscle and they start looking terrible. You know, I could definitely see that as upsetting to somebody in a waiting room for sure. This was interesting, actually. 89% of the people in this study suggested having alternative activities, you know, in the waiting room, like music or drawing or puzzles, or have a library or a TV set or something like that. And we do that. I mean, we have our, you know, our pianist and we have dogs coming in. We have, you know, the nice people who bring in their therapy dogs and things like that. So, I mean, we kind of do that. But listen to this, Angel. This is quite interesting. The majority of the respondents wanted to be let free from waiting in a waiting room. So I don't know if you've ever taken the kids to like Chuck E. Cheese or, you know, other like restaurants where You know, you go there and they say, okay, Mr. Santana, you know, you got two, it looks like you have two hungry kids. The wait is an hour, and they give you this little buzzer, and you take the buzzer and you try to, you know, endure the meltdowns of your children until the buzzer rings. I just thought that was interesting that the majority of the patients in that paper didn't want to wait in the waiting room. They wanted to wait somewhere else. So I found that to be interesting. Yeah. And then they got into another subject, which we're not going to get into today, about what's called a shared medical appointment. And it's another way in order to make the waiting room experience, I guess, a little more tenable. So putting it all together, Angel, as we always do, obviously, I was beyond thrilled that someone other than myself, dear Dr. Singh, saw what I saw and saw that power. And I wanted to kind of end the podcast with a few quotes from Dr. Singh and from Kelsey. So, quote unquote, the great privilege of treating cancer patients is the constant reminder of the things that are truly important in life. In a hectic world, too often we take our health and relationships for granted. Yet in adverse circumstances, like the treatment for cancer, here are three people who battled to regain their health and build relationships with each other that helped them in the process. I am honored to have been part of their journey. They inspire me to nurture and value health and relationships. That was from Dr. Singh. And then Kelsey mentions that cancer has a funny way of changing your life. And without cancer, it is unlikely that these three men would have ever developed such a close friendship. As a provider, we are able to offer patient guidance based off of past patient experience and their own, as well as from literature and data. But nothing can truly compare to having another person or friend going through a similar treatment who can relate to the symptoms and offer advice and support. Even during bad times, these guys made sure to lift each other up and fill the waiting room with positivity and laughter, which is definitely not something we often hear in our waiting room. And thanks to their special bond and close friendship, each time one of them were given the okay to ring the victory bell in the lobby, they all gathered together to celebrate. And they end the blog saying they're not done cheering. As soon as the last guy feels better and he's back to eating regular food, the three of them are going to get together at Russell's Steak Chops and More. And I want to be invited, Dr. Singh, to that dinner. And you should go too. And maybe me and Angel will take a ride up to Buffalo and, you know, and break bread with you wonderful people. And I really appreciate you sharing that through your blog. Angel, you always get the last word.
You know, I think it's just fascinating how it doesn't matter where you live, you know, there's stories everywhere. And at the end of the day, you know, our podcast that we're doing here is for, you know, the cancer survivor and thrivers and our, of course, just educating ourselves, myself, re-educating you in situations that have come in and, you know, and has humbled you. But, you know, I live by the words that things don't happen by accident. They happen for a reason. There's a purpose. And I think this episode's is a great proof to that. I would like to just point out one thing on a side note. You know, the Croc Podcast has been on the air for 4 years, and we continue to try to bring, you know, this revolution to the industry by pulling the curtain back and showing you things that we agree with, we don't agree with, things that we shed light on. But now is the time for you as the Croc Nation to go out, subscribe to our podcast. If you have comments, leave a comment. If you like our show, if you don't like our show, leave a comment. Dr. E is going to respond back to you. I will respond back to you. There is no third party. It's one and done. So I encourage each of you to do that. And I hope that we will, you know, look forward to hearing some of your comments after today's episode.
Angel, thank you for those wonderful comments. And we're going to end today a little differently. Of course, you know, why are we here? We're here for our survivor thrivers. We adore you guys. We respect you. We admire you. We're inspired by you daily. We hope that these podcasts are helpful to you. But I'm going to turn my attention of gratitude today to the board of directors. We just had our board meeting this past Wednesday, and it's just so wonderful to see seven or eight people, our board of directors, come together every quarter, and everyone's busy. Everyone has their own lives. Everyone is highly, highly talented and decorated and is so good at what they do. And yet they take time to come to sit down with Angel and myself and to literally go through the entire organization, oversee, the quality of our podcast, the content of our podcast, trying to give us feedback on trying to make the podcast better. So today's ending is really a thank you, a gratitude, a shout out to the board of directors. To my beautiful wife Denise, who is always giving me feedback about this podcast and many other things, to my dear Angel Santana, my co-host and best pal, to Rod Freeman, Small Biz Up. Rod does all of the website stuff and does all of the technical stuff besides the production stuff that Angel does. Justin Ryder, an attorney that I actually can have dinner with, just a wonderful, wonderful man, such a community leader. I'm so grateful to you, Justin, to our two new board members, Nick Lanza. Nick, what a nice man you are. What a good man you are. I think you're going to make a great contribution to our board, especially keeping Angel, focused on the process. Eloise Hickman, I don't know, man, if I've ever met anybody as fun as you. You are a hoot and a holler, and I love your whole thing you got going on, the hat and the laughter and your smile, and you are our survivor representative, and thank you, Eloise, for coming on the board. And of course, the two most amazing women, Jane O'Malley and Sarah Sargente, are two nurses and navigators who have been on the board for, God, I can't even tell you how many years, and devote their times and talents to our survivors/thrivers. Just to tell you a quick story about Jane and Sarah. So when we were in our incarnation of helping out with the Celebrate Life Half Marathon and doing the grant process for them, Sarah and Jane were on our board. And then when we left that process, they went on to the board with Miriam as well as our board. And then when Miriam stopped doing the Celebrate Life, which raised over $1 million for the community up in the Hudson Valley, Sullivan County, Orange County, et cetera, they did not want to see that that process die. They didn't want to see needy people needing transportation, needy people needing grants for medicine, needy people needing assistance to get through their cancer treatments. So they began their own organization, which, Angel, we should actually somehow put on the website. So Nursing Acts of Kindness. So for you ladies, thank you very much. As I say, the entire board, you don't just talk the talk, you walk the walk. All right. So that's enough nice stuff that I have to say about you knuckleheads. Back to work. So let's end, Angel, as we end each podcast, with a blessing. On behalf of Angel, myself, and the entire board, we want to wish each and every survivor a long, healthy, happy, and cancer-free life. Dr. Singh and Kelsey, thank you for what you're doing. Keep it up. May God bless you. May God be with you. Peace.
Don't forget, everyone, we can join us on the Croc Podcast every Sunday at 9 a.m. Keep an eye out on your alerts. If you subscribe to us on your Apple, iOS, or Android, please leave a comment, leave us a like, let us know how we're doing. We will get back to you. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.